I mean, what use is all of our knowledge and wisdom if we don't have love? Love is called the greatest gift. As Christians, we need to be the most loving people in the world. We need to be having the self-sacrificial love that Christ had. This means that when we see the needs in the world, we should act to fill them. When people are hungry, thirsty, poor, lonely, hurt, or sick, or homeless, Christians should respond out of love and let our actions show the world our faith. We need to be rich in charity and represent Christ.
We live in a world where there is more access to information than ever before. Generations, young and old, are being exposed to radically different ideologies and opinions every day. It can be so overwhelming, trying to decipher what's true and what's false. But there is a way. Join me as we discuss some of the toughest questions out there about Christianity, the Bible, and culture. I'm your host, Nick Lackey. Welcome to The Garrison.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Garrison. I'm super excited because today is the first podcast recorded in the new studio. If you're watching on YouTube, you will notice that it is a wee bit of a different background. Hopefully it's an improvement from the last one, but I'm super grateful to God and to everyone who has helped make the studio happen, because it hasn't just been a Nick Blackie thing. Many people have been involved, and yeah, thank you to everyone who has been. If you guys have any topics or questions you want covered on the Garrison podcast, feel free to reach me on thegarrisonpod@gmail.com, or you can contact me on social media and I'll be very happy to consider your request, as I love to hear from you guys and see what feedback you have. Now today, we're going to be talking about being an ambassador for Christ, and it's the fourth talk from a line of talks that I spoke on at a camp down south earlier this year. Now, briefly, before we start, I will mention that one of these camps, they are Youth Worldview Christian Camps, is happening in Queenstown this year from the 14th of April to the 19th of April. If you want to know more about it, go search up Queenstown Apologetics Camp or CYC Waihola, and it's on their website. You can find out more information, or you can get in touch with me, and I'd love to share more about that camp with you. Anyway, with that out of the way, let's get into the talk. In 2021, the biggest global meetup about climate change ever occurred, and this was called the COP26 Summit. Now, world leaders from all around the globe came and flew on their private jets, over 118 of them, flew on their private jets to attend the summit, which was rather ironic because in doing so, they emitted over 1,000 tons of CO2. Now, even during the recent lockdown, hundreds of government officials and scientists and lawmakers and people who were enforcing lockdown rules upon the general public, they themselves were caught breaking their own rules. I mean, there's been story after story of brand ambassadors who have failed to do a good job representing their brand. Now, as the general public, we cringe at these things. We think, man, what a bunch of hypocrites, because they fail to represent the brand or the idea very well. They failed to be an ambassador, and therefore they let their company or their idea that they were representing down. I mean, consider this. How would it go if you got a brand ambassador for Weight Watchers who was severely overweight? I mean, it just wouldn't be a good look, would it? Or if you got a chain smoker to be the brand ambassador or an idea ambassador behind a anti-smoking campaign. Or let's suppose you were Nike and you hired a biological male to represent your female sportswear. This one here is not made up. This truly did happen last year. It's a bad way of representing your company. These people aren't good brand ambassadors. However, on the other hand, there have been some brilliant ambassadors as well. And by representing their company, they have brought global attention to the brand and brought in millions of dollars. I mean, consider Tiger Woods and his partnership with Nike, or Lionel Messi and his partnership with Adidas, or maybe Beyonce and Pepsi, or Taylor Swift and Coca-Cola. These people have done a fantastic job at being a brand ambassador, and they have brought in millions of dollars to their company. Now, there's another type of ambassador as well, called an international ambassador. And consider the importance of this role. As an international ambassador, you represent your entire company. Now, the definition of an international ambassador is the highest ranking diplomatic officer designated by the government as its resident representative in a foreign state or before an international organization. Now, some of the roles of an international ambassador include attending high-level functions as the country's representative or coordinating support for humanitarian issues in the host country, such as relief response in the event of a natural disaster, as well as a whole list of other things that they are to do. The point is, their role is incredibly important. And in short, an ambassador is a representative or a promoter of a group, brand, idea, or country. And here's the key point that I want you to remember. People's perception of what the ambassador is representing is often coming from how they view the ambassador themselves. They will make conclusions about the idea or the brand based on how they perceive the ambassador themselves. So what relevance does this have to being an ambassador for Christ? Well, I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, where it talks about being an ambassador. And here's what it says. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And that's the end of the passage. Now, there is a lot of stuff to take from that passage, and I'll make a quick summary. As believers, our purpose is to live not for ourselves, but for Jesus, who sacrificed his life and he rose again. Through Christ, we become new creations, leaving behind our old selves. And God works through us, his church, pleading with others to be reconciled to him through repentance and faith. And through Jesus taking on our sin, we gain the righteousness of God, highlighting the transformative power of faith in our lives. And our responsibility is to spread the word of reconciliation by preaching the gospel and serving as ambassadors for Christ. So how are we going to be a good ambassador for Christ? Well, here's three things. That's what today is going to be about. Three things that we need as a good ambassador of Christ. And the first one is knowledge. What use is an ambassador if they don't know what they are representing? Imagine seeing a celebrity post day after day about an anti-biblioclept foundation. A big word there. But they wore clothes day after day representing the cause. They were posting all the time on social media about this cause. They gave money to the cause as well. Now imagine walking up to that person and asking them what the cause was all about. And they said, I don't know, it just sounds cool. I mean, you'd think that person is crazy if they didn't have a clear understanding and explanation about what this cause was all about. You'd question why they bothered representing it at all. Now, in case you're wondering what a biblioclept is, it's someone who steals books. And so Anti-Biblioclept Foundation is an anti-book thief foundation. Anyways, as an ambassador, you must have knowledge about what you are representing. And in the Christian case, we see in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You can see here that we're told to always have a defense. As Christian ambassadors, we need to know what we are representing. I mean, an effective brand ambassador will make sure that they are up to date with the latest news on the company, and they will know the intricate details. They'll know who the CEO is. They'll know who the CFO is. They'll know the company's mission plan. They will actively study and search for more knowledge about their company and its products. And in the same way, as ambassadors for Christ, we need to know about him and we need to know what we believe and why we believe it to be true. So how do we do this? Well, there's a variety of ways we can do this, but firstly, and of primary importance, is that we read the Bible. If we are to know God and to know Christianity, we need to read his word. Now, if you're like me, this may not always be something that you're really, really excited to do. You know, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Now, don't get me wrong, I still desire to read the word. Otherwise, what kind of Christian would I be? That would be like being in a relationship with a spouse and not wanting to hear them talk. Actually, some people are probably in this kind of relationship. But sometimes with the word, I get lazy. I get distracted. That's why I've disciplined myself after every morning shower to go and read the Bible. I've stolen Ray Comfort's saying where he goes, no Bible, no breakfast, no read, no feed. It's so important that we take in the daily word of God like we take in our daily bowl of Weet-Bix. Maybe just start your day with a psalm of praise or thanksgiving. Just get into that word and it will become easier as you do it more and more. Don't starve yourself of the spiritual food. Another way we can get knowledge of what we are representing is by continuing our study in apologetics. And this can be done in so many different ways. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us that we need to have a defense ready for the hope that we have. And so maybe you could start listening to an apologetics podcast or start reading apologetics books. Start watching debates between people. Start to attend online universities and training courses. Start talking to people as well. I mean, this is a great way of learning. When you start talking with non-Christians and engaging with them, you will understand what questions people have about Christianity, and it will cause you to be a greater ambassador as well. So as an ambassador for Christ, we need knowledge of him and of Christianity in general. But there's something else which is equally as important, and this is number two. We need to have wisdom. How we say things is just as important as what we say. We can have all the knowledge in the world, but people won't listen if we don't present it the right way. And there's a few different keys when talking to people about Christ, things that we need. And one of them is a good tone of voice. Now, I want to give you two scenarios or two responses I could have made to my dad when I very lazily chucked a whole bag of rubbish in the rubbish bin, and part of it was recycling, and I should have put the recycling in the recycling bin, but I got lazy. And so here's two ways I could respond to my dad when he asked me why I did this. I could have said, I'm sorry, Dad, I was lazy. I put that piece of recycling in the red bin. I shouldn't have done that. You can see my tone of voice is pretty flat, doesn't have much emotion, and it's probably not going to come across very well to him. But here's the other option. I could say, Dad, I'm really sorry. I was super lazy. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have put that piece of recycling in the rubbish bin. That's really poor for me. It won't happen again. Now, you can see that time I had a wee bit more tone of voice. I had a wee bit more fluctuation and emotion, and it's probably going to come across a lot better. And the same is true when we're presenting the gospel to people. If we just tell people, Jesus died for your sins so that you could be forgiven, it's really plain. People won't see that we are genuine. Instead, we need to add some emotion into our voice and show them that we care for them. Another thing we need on top of a good tone of voice is tactics in a conversation. We need to know how to navigate a conversation well. And one way we can do that is by asking questions. This is really effective and powerful when we're sharing with people about Christ. And here's two great questions you can ask. If someone makes a claim about Christianity or they ask you a question, start off by coming back with, what do you mean by that? Get them to explain what they mean. Sometimes our perception of what we think they are asking or saying is different to what they truly mean. So get them to clarify first. Ask them, what do you mean by that? And another great question you can ask is, how did you come to that conclusion? This is really powerful as well. If someone makes a claim, you ask them, how did you come to that conclusion? And you get them to backtrack and to explain why they believe what they believe. And in many cases, people haven't actually really thought it through that much. So rather than you having to do all the discussion, all the talking, in your conversation while you share the gospel, you can allow the other person to talk and you can listen. And people really do appreciate that. There's something called the burden of proof as well. And if someone makes a claim, they have the burden of proof. They have the burden to back up what they are saying. So if we're just having a conversation and we're making all the claims, then we have to back up everything we're saying. But if someone else makes a claim and we're just sitting back and asking questions and listening, they have the burden of proof and they need to back up what they are saying. A girl once asked me at Jesus Club, which is a club that I run at my old high school, she said, "Isn't God evil for saying that all gay people should be killed?" Now, straight away, I could have jumped back in with a response and tried to defend my viewpoint and explained about homosexuality. But instead, I just said, "What do you mean by that? Where does it say that in the Bible? You know, how did you come to that conclusion?" And she said, "I don't really know. I just heard it somewhere." She hadn't really looked into the evidence. In fact, there is no claim in the Bible that it says all gay people should be killed. She hadn't looked into it, and therefore, she kind of recanted her view. Another answer you can give to people when they ask you a question is, "I don't know." It's a really powerful answer because, look, end of the day, we're all human. No one knows everything about anything. And so it's okay not to have answers. And it shows humility as well when we can respond to someone and say, "Hey, I've never really looked into that before. I'll look into it and get back to you." And people really do appreciate it. And finally, another really good thing to use when we are talking to people about Christianity is to speak clearly and to use common language. If we said this to someone, "Jesus sacrificed his life for your sin upon a cross to ransom you from hell as the substitutionary atonement, the sacrificial lamb, the great high priest, so you could be redeemed from your transgressions." If we said that to someone, do you think they would understand much of what we're saying? I mean, probably not, right? This is described often as Christianese, like we're speaking in a Christian language to people. Instead, we need to use common language with them to help them understand. Instead of using words like transgression of the law or even sin, you could just say, "Hey, you're breaking God's moral commands." Or instead of saying the substitutionary atonement, the sacrificial lamb, go through and use common language to explain to them how Jesus died for them on a cross. Use simple language and help people understand. Your job as an ambassador of Christ isn't to use fancy words, but it is to help people understand the gospel. Or the good news. There you go. That's a simplification of the word the gospel. Now, how do we get wisdom? Well, firstly, we need to pray. We need to ask God to be with us when we're speaking. We need to actively seek Him in prayer and to ask Him to give us godly wisdom as we have these conversations. Another great way to gain this wisdom and the skills to be able to have a discussion about Christianity is to watch other people do it first. This is how I got into having discussions with people. I went and watched Ray Comfort on YouTube, and I watched how he interacted with people and had conversations. And it's a really effective way to learn. And I'll use an analogy to help. A few years back, I was in a place called Nelson, which is the top of the South Island in New Zealand. And I was at a waterhole. And at this waterhole, there was a rock you could jump off into the water, which is something I absolutely love to do. But there was about a 2-meter gap that you had to clear as you jumped off the rock into the water. If you didn't jump far enough, you'd land splat on the rocks. And in hindsight, maybe this was a wee bit silly, but there were a few people and they were running up and they were jumping off the rock into the water. Now, I wanted to do this as well, but I also didn't want to die. And so instead of running and doing it straight away myself, I observed others do it first. I took note of where they jumped off and how much speed they had and where they were aiming for. And even just by watching them, I gained a bunch of confidence just by seeing how they did it. Now, the same can apply with evangelism. If we watch other people do it first, then this will help us understand how to have conversations. And finally, the last thing we need as a good ambassador for Christ is character. What do I mean by that? Well, Gandhi had a famous saying about Christianity, and it goes like this: "I like your Christ, but I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Much of the world viewed Christ through the actions and words of Christians. Many have been turned away by so-called Christians who say one thing and do another. Like those world leaders that we talked about at the start, they are hypocrites. They aren't good ambassadors for Christ because they lack character. There's a quote that goes like this: "You may be the only Bible that someone will ever read." And I get the essence of the quote. Not everyone is going to have a chance to read a real Bible or to get a full picture of Christianity. They might only get glimpses of it from you and your actions, which is why it's so important that we're good representations of Christianity, that we're good ambassadors for Christ. So how do we represent Christ in the area of character? Well, I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 13. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." I mean, what use is all of our knowledge and wisdom if we don't have love? Love is called the greatest gift. As Christians, we need to be the most loving people in the world. We need to be having the self-sacrificial love that Christ had. This means that when we see the needs in the world, we should act to fill them. When people are hungry, thirsty, poor, lonely, hurt, or sick, or homeless, Christians should respond out of love and let our actions show the world our faith. We need to be rich in charity and represent Christ. But above this, there's something more we need to be doing, and that is evangelism. Imagine that there was a man standing in the middle of Times Square and he had the cure to cancer. But imagine the same man didn't give it to anyone. He kept it to himself. I mean, you'd think that this guy would be standing up in the middle of Times Square, yelling at people, saying, "I have the cure to cancer. Bring your loved ones here. Bring yourself here to take this cure and get it to the rest of the world." As Christians, I mean, we have been given the cure for death and sin, much greater than the cure for cancer. So shouldn't we be sharing that with others? Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, "And he said to them," this is Jesus speaking, "go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I mean, if we truly believe in heaven and hell, we need to be telling people about it. We need to be preaching the truth and love. Our love for our friends, families, co-workers, and strangers on the street should compel us to warn them of the danger that they are in. We should present to them, out of love, the rescuer who is Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon has a pretty sobering quote that goes like this: "Have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you are not saved yourself. Be sure of that." But it makes sense, right? If we've truly been given the cure for sin and death, shouldn't we naturally want to share that with others? So examine yourself. Do you have this desire to share the good news with other people? How do we do that? How do we share the good news with other people? Well, you could be sharing videos and content online. Send people videos and say, "Hey, what do you think about this?" You could be making your own content online. You could be giving out gospel tracts to shopkeepers which have the gospel on them. You could be doing street evangelism. You could start conversations with family and friends about this stuff. You could start a school group. I mean, there are so many different ways we can be getting the gospel to people, but the main thing is that we are doing something. So in conclusion, here's a question I want to ask. Are you going to be an ambassador for Christ, or are you going to be an ambassador for the world? Are you going to represent Christ in your thoughts and in your actions and in your words? I want to consider a few people who were great ambassadors for Christ. And the first one is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He stood up against the Nazi regime. I mean, consider how he was a representative, an ambassador for Christ. And he followed in Christ's footsteps by giving his life in the end. He was executed in a Nazi concentration camp just weeks before the war ended. Or consider Sophie Scholl, who also stood up against this Nazi regime. At just 21 years of age, she was arrested and put on trial, where she boldly defended her Christian convictions about the value of every human being. She famously said, "How can we expect righteousness to prevail when there is hardly anyone willing to give himself up individually to a righteous cause?" She was executed by guillotine 4 days after her arrest. Well, think about Jim Elliot, an American missionary who understood the Great Commission and wanted to take the gospel to all nations. He and a group of other guys went to the Huarani people in Ecuador to go and preach the gospel, but they were martyred for their faith. They were spared to death just shortly after making contact with the tribe. I mean, this guy Jim was only 28 years old. Jim Elliot's commitment to Christ was evident in his famous quote, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Now, after their deaths, the widows of the slain missionaries, including Jim Elliot's wife, Elizabeth Elliot, continued the mission to the Huarani people. And remarkably, some members of the tribe eventually converted to Christianity, including some of those who were responsible for the missionaries' death. And finally, think of Perpetua and Felicity. These were a couple of ladies who lived in the Roman province of Carthage, which is Tunisia today. And Perpetua was a noblewoman, about 22 years old, and Felicity was probably the same age, and she was pregnant. And they both converted to Christianity. And in 203 AD, they were arrested for their faith and thrown in prison, where they remained steadfast under the threat of being thrown into the amphitheater for wild animals to devour. Felicity actually gave birth in prison, and miraculously, both she and her infant survived. However, since she had given birth, she was now allowed, under Roman law, to be executed. So Perpetua, Felicity, and three more of their Christian companions were martyred in the amphitheater by wild beasts, gladiators, and beheading. Now, there's a challenging question I've heard before, and it goes like this. If Christianity was outlawed in New Zealand tomorrow, how long would it take for the police to arrest you? In other words, how obvious is it to the world that you represent Christ? Is it so obvious that your friends know and your family knows and people at your school know and your colleagues know? Or have you hidden this news as if it's something to be ashamed of? Would people look at you and think, "Ah, they're just another one of us"? I want to finish with a quote from a historical novel I read by Francine Rivers, and it's based on the early Christians. And the story follows a Jewish slave girl called Hadassah, who's a Christian. Now, at one stage in the book, she's moments away from being fed to the lions in the Ephesian arena because she confessed her faith. And when asked why she would confess her faith, knowing it would lead to this, she replies, "Unless we have something worth dying for, we have nothing worth living for." How do you want to live your life? Who do you want to live for? Who do you want to represent? I want to live my life serving Christ, seeking first His kingdom. I want to live for Him. I want to represent Him in everything that I do. I want to live knowing that this is something worth dying for. I want to be an ambassador for Christ. Friends, if you have enjoyed this episode, if you think it's beneficial, then please remember to rate this podcast on wherever you're listening to, or share it with people as well. Remember, if you have any questions, feel free to get to me at thegarrisonpod@gmail.com. But otherwise, I'll see you on the next episode of The Garrison.